From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Wait for the Finals. The text is Genesis 49 and verse 19. Gad, a troop shall overcome him, but he shall overcome at the last. Some of us have been like the tribe of Gad. Our adversaries for a while were too many for us. They came upon us like a troop. Yes, and for the moment they overcame us, and they exulted greatly because of their temporary victory. Thus they only prove the first part of the family heritage to be really ours, for Christ's people, like Dan, shall have a troop overcoming them. This being overcome is very painful, and we should have despaired if we had not by faith believed the second line of our Father's benediction, He shall overcome at the last. All's well that ends well, said the world's poet, and he spoke the truth. A war is to be judged not by first successes or defeats, but by that which happens at the last. The Lord will give to truth and righteousness victory at the last, and, as Mr. Bunyan says, that means forever, for nothing can come after the last. What we need is patient perseverance in well-doing, calm confidence in our glorious Captain. Christ our Lord Jesus would teach us His holy art of setting the face like a flint to go through with work or suffering till we can say, It is finished. Hallelujah. Victory. Victory. We believe the promise, He shall overcome at the last.
The day is set, the time is come, the witnesses arrive. The course is marked, the men prepared, all weights are set aside. Positions are assumed and taken, energies now reawaken. Empty thoughts are all forsaken, I must win the prize. I run this race with patience. Set my God designed it all for His great cause. I will not live for selfish gain or die for men's applause. My Savior, love, my passion, King, is every blessed word I'll cling. To Him is every wish I'll bring till Jesus calls me home. With patience, I'll run this race with joy. The
salvation. The Lord is all I need. He has already won the victory. From sin I have been free. Oh Lord, I must be faithful.
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. These songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may call 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Call or write for your copy today. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of this message called Sin Inexcusable and Judgment Inescapable. The text is Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Here, Paul focuses upon the Jews, who considered themselves superior to the Gentiles because Israel was God's chosen people. They prided themselves on their heritage as the children of Abraham, the possessors of God's revelation. But they committed the same sins as the Gentiles, and they would experience the same judgment. In the sight of God, sin is inexcusable. Furthermore, no matter what sinners may say or think, God's judgment upon sin is inescapable. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, Sin Inexcusable and Judgment Inescapable.
God's not going to compare you to the immorality of others. He's going to judge you by his own holy law. And then in verse 1, he's saying that self-serving hypocrisy gives you no defense. You see, these Jews were actually, because they were Jews, they were, in their mind, able to get away with doing the very things they condemned in the Gentiles. Why? Because, as I've said, they were in the covenant. So they thought. They were about to have an awful lesson. As Paul puts it later in this book, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. As he puts it later in this chapter, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. That's not a real Jew at all. But they didn't know that. They didn't care about that. They were hypocrites, and they hid behind their hypocrisy. You would look at some of those lives and say, my, what good and upright people they are. If any one of us had met the Pharisee that Jesus condemned in the story of the Pharisee and the publican, we would have said, now there's a good man. There's a wonderful man. But he went down to his house unjustified. He went down condemned because he was a hypocrite. And that's no defense before God. You know, this spirit of the Pharisee isn't just a Jewish thing. There's nothing in this world that's more natural to every one of us than to be a hypocrite. Now, that's a blanket statement, but I'm going to make it. You will have heard from this pulpit before, the word hypocrite comes from the Greek drama, where the actor would put a mask over his face to convey the character he was portraying. That's a hypocrite. He's living behind a mask. He's presenting a picture to the world that is unreal, untrue to what is on the inside. Now that mask may fool the world, but God looketh not on the outward appearance, God looketh on the heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. He knows me better than I know myself. He says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. It's amazing, you know, that even in this day of such tolerance for evil, that almost everybody is willing to judge somebody else's sin as outrageous and wrong. There are a few liars, and I will call them that publicly, going around, who hold on to a philosophy that there is no such thing as truth, there is no such thing as right, there is no such thing as wrong. I say they are liars because they have to belie everything in their own very nature. And when they are faced with such a proposition, would you say it was wrong for me to enter your home, to destroy your goods, to murder your wife, to murder your children, to take all that I can take? Would you say that that was wrong? Some of these liars, just to maintain a philosophy that they know to be a lie, will say, I wouldn't like it, but I can't really say it would be wrong. Thankfully, even in this day and age, just about everybody else knows, yes, that's wrong. That is wrong. But by what standard? How can we judge the sin of a murderer to be wrong? How can we say anything is right and anything is wrong? We can only say that because back of that judgment there is a law. And as we go down this chapter, we will find it's a law that God has written on the heart. And it's a law that he has fully expounded in his word. Now let me tell you, men and women, that's the standard for judgment. You express outrage at the sin of others. And this verse, by the way, does not say it is wrong to judge the sin of others. Society couldn't exist if we didn't judge the sin of others. What this is saying, it's wrong to judge the sin of others while you don't judge yourself when you do the very same thing. That's what's inexcusable. That's hypocrisy. But you judge their sin. Tell me, in your own mind now, what is it that's outrageous to you in this world? What is it that somebody in Greenville has been convicted of doing, and you find that a filthy, abominable sin, a wickedness to be condemned? Get something in your mind. Make it as bad as you can. And then check it off against the commandment of God. Is it murder? But what does the commandment, thou shalt not kill or do no murder, what does that commandment mean? The Bible tells me if you hate without a cause, you're guilty of the same sin. Have you ever been so angry that if you could have got away with it, you felt you could murder that person? Ah, you haven't done it. Maybe it's the fear, or just the grace of God inhibiting you. But the motivation of the murderer is there. You look at the poor tramp, the woman who walks the street and sells her body for money. You think of the vile characters who ply with her trade. Then you remember the words of our Savior. Any who has ever looked with lust is guilty of breaking the same law. A man steals $1 million, what is he? He's a thief. A man steals $1, what is he? He is a thief. Don't come before a holy God with your holier-than-thou hypocrisy, because by the standard of God, he says to the Jew and he says to you, your sin is inexcusable. And therefore, the judgment is inescapable. He says in verse 2, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. My time is gone, and I will simply list the points that Paul is making. Verse 3, the denial of judgment is not an escape from judgment. Do you think that you'll escape? What he's saying is, look, you people have formulated a theory, a philosophy, a religion that says they're going to be judged, but I'm going to escape. Now, Paul is saying here, stop for a minute. Do you really think that you can escape the judgment of God? That's a searching question. Do you really think that? To deny it does not mean you escape from it. Verse 4, he says that delay in the execution of judgment is not an escape from judgment. The goodness, the forbearance, the long-suffering of God, this great patient endurance of God, where he, if I could use a very simple term, where he is put up with your sin for year after year after year after year after year. He's put up with your rebellion. He's put up with your Christ rejection. He is put up with your folly year after year. Many people take that delay as saying there is no judgment at all. Just as the same kind of folly, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 says, you've been talking for years about the coming of Christ and the coming judgment. We don't see any sign of it. Why does God delay? for the very same reason Peter says, as Paul gives here, to lead you to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why he delays the judgment. The delay does not give you an escape. Verses 4 and 5, despising mercy aggravates God's judgment, but it doesn't avoid it. God has given you the riches of his goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering. His goodness leads you to repentance. Every time God convicts you of your sin, every time God tells you of the love of God in Christ, every time he gives you an invitation to repent and be converted, every time he tugs at the heartstring to pull you to the cross, he's leading you to repentance. Don't despise that. Don't despise it. For despising God's goodness will not give you an escape from wrath. It will aggravate your condition as it did the Jews. The whole argument for Paul here is that the need of the gospel for the Jew was just as great as it was for the Gentile. My application to you is, your need of Christ is just the same as the need the greatest heathen, the darkest pagan, the most immoral, wicked person on the face of God's earth tonight. All have sinned and all come short of the glory of God. The great message of chapter 1, verses 16 and 17 stands firm. The gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, because in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Apart from Christ, it doesn't matter whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Gentile, whether you're rich or whether you're poor, whether you're, quotes, in the covenant community or outside the covenant community. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white, educated or illiterate. It doesn't matter how you've come to this point in life where you are tonight. I want to face you with a simple but far, far-reaching fact, that apart from Christ revealed in the gospel, there is nothing but the wrath of a sin-hating God. And understand that. And that will summarize for you and me tonight just how urgent is the need to grasp the gospel. Christ is mighty to save. Christ is able to save. Christ is willing to save. All that I have said tonight is to lead men and women to repentance and to faith in Jesus Christ. Make sure you learn that truth and flee from the wrath to come. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us all pray. Father in heaven and God of love, we own thy power to save, that power by which our Savior rose victorious o'er the grave. We believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we pray that tonight thou wilt employ it with saving effect. Our God, we pray that thou wilt bring the lost to Christ. Lord, stop people from hiding behind the sins of others. We pray that thou wilt stop people from hiding behind their own self-righteousness. Lord, we pray that thou wilt stop people from hiding behind their own sheer hypocrisy. Lord, bring us all into the light of truth tonight. God, grant that men and women and boys and girls be brought face to face with Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray for the children and the young people. We thank Thee for the privileges of their being brought up under the sound of the gospel. But Lord, we want to see them saved. We want to see them born again of the Spirit of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Lord, bring our little ones and our teenagers to Christ. Hear our cry. Part us with Thy blessing. Grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter, may be our abiding portion both this Sabbath evening and evermore. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.